Hi, thanks for joining us today. This is Bonnie Wallace, author of Young Hollywood Actors and The Hollywood Parents Guide. Today, my guest on this podcast is renowned Los Angeles acting teacher Scott Sedita, founder of the Scott Sedita Acting Studios. A former talent and casting director, Scott is the author of two books, Scott Sedita's... Hold, I'm going to stop right now. Am I pronouncing your last name correctly?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm not going to do this.
I think you should continue.
Way.
This is very authentic. Keep going. You're doing good. I love how you sound, too. I say you keep going.
Well, then we're going to do this.
Yes,
so we're not going to clip this
out. Go ahead. It's good.
All right. Scott is the author of two books, Scott Sedita's Guide to Making It in Hollywood, Three Steps to Success, Three Steps to Failure, and The Eight Characters of Comedy. He's also the creator of the Scott Sedita Actors Audition app. Actors who've studied with Scott include Cameron Monaghan, Holly Taylor, Ross Butler, Haley Bennett, Chase Crawford, Brandon Routh, Josh DeMille, and Charles Milton. Scott, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, hello, welcome. Thank you very much. Happy pilot season.
Happy pilot season.
This is I began my studio 22 years ago in this month and right at the beginning of pilot season. So I was thrown into everything, which was kind of how I like it. You know what I mean?
Well,
you learn as you go.
You told me as we were just sitting down that this is your eighth day of working in a row.
Yeah, it's been busy. I do a lot of different intensives each weekend, so it keeps me busy. But I'm used to that. I've worked since I was 22. So I was an agent in New York City when I was 22. I was just telling somebody that the other day, and they said, "You were 22?" I said, "Yeah, I worked right away. I got out of college. After I got out of college, well, I had a job in Hollywood before I left college. I went to Boston University and studied film and acting. And before I left, I had a job in the film industry in Los Angeles, and there was a writers and directors strike. So I ended up having to go home to New York City and live with my mother in a one-bedroom apartment. So I took the first job I could get, which was an assistant agent job. I kind of believe that everyone has different talents, and I have a talent to spot talent, and that became very true and real when I was an assistant agent, because in no time I ended up leaving that smaller agency and going to another agent and becoming an agent. And as I said, I was the youngest agent in New York City at 22. I didn't know very much, but I had a lot of things going on. I loved it, and I believed in people, and the people I believed in worked right away. I discovered Courtney Cox, Matt LeBlanc, Christopher Maloney, Michael Weatherly, Terry Polo. There's a lot of people there.
That's insane.
Yeah. I didn't want anybody older than me. so because I didn't feel comfortable or something, you know, helping someone who like knew, had more knowledge or something than I did. So, but I was good. I was good at what I did. I was really good at what I did, and I just burnt out of it. And I kind of wanted to go back to working with actors in a creative way. I also wanted to write as I did in college, so I gave it all up. I guess around 29 years old, and I moved to Los Angeles, and I got some jobs writing, but in order to survive, my survival job was a casting director. And I worked for a great man named Danny Goleman Casting, who was a huge casting director in that time. He mostly did commercials and infomercials and industrials and that type of stuff, and I went right into doing that. And it was really interesting for me, because as an agent, you send people out. You never get to see what they do in the casting room. But as a casting director, I got to see what people actually did in the casting room. I got to see actors and how they, you know, could sabotage themselves in a casting room because either they were unprepared or because fear set in or because they had certain expectations. So it's just interesting to me to see both sides of that. And during that time as a casting director, Danny was so great. I ended up coaching actors during my lunch period. He let me do that, and he lent me his studio at night so I could coach and end up teaching classes there. And then 22 years ago, this month, January 2020, and January 1998, I opened this studio. And I had 10 students. Now we have hundreds, but at that time I had 10 students and a you know. There was that saying from Field of Dreams. What was it?
If you build it, they will come.
I know that's corny, but I think I said it to myself every day. And when you invest in yourself, then you work really hard. I used to say I have a horrible boss, me.
Yeah.
So I just taught, and I ended up building the space, getting more space. The interesting thing, though, 22 years ago when I began, my classes were theatrical acting classes. I concentrated on audition technique because that's kind of what I knew. I was an agent. I was a casting director. So it made sense that audition technique would, be something that I would be good at. I didn't do, I wasn't a scene study teacher. But I, when I left Danny Goleman, during that time, and a lot of people don't know this, but even just 10 years ago, the only casting directors that had cameras in the studio were commercial casting directors or industrial casting directors. Theatrical casting directors did not have a camera with the lights and the mic set up. That just hadn't started until maybe 10 years ago, but or even less than that. So when I came over to do a theatrical acting class, I brought my camera and my lights and my mic and my blue backdrop that I had. And so I became like the first theatrical acting coach who had a camera in the studio. And the interesting part about that is that I was ridiculed because a lot of people felt, and I understood, that an actor on camera in the process of learning how to act wasn't a good idea. And I understood that. But as I said, I didn't teach scene study. I taught audition tech. People would say, I mean, the camera's great, but there's no cameras in auditions. So why do you have a camera in your theatrical? I just felt like it was really important for actors to see what they were doing on an audition. Also to see what their essences were reading. Yeah. And honestly, I was just comfortable teaching in front of a camera.
Yeah.
So I think now every acting studio has a camera in the studio, just recently we completely upgraded our whole system here at the studio. We've been doing it throughout the years. But so I did, when I first started, I did main scenes, which were dramatic, and they could be, the actors had to come and pick up the sides.
Mm-hmm. Just then, like in real life.
Like in real life back in the day, and then they had to come to class, okay? They weren't emailed out because there was nothing there. They were starting to, I got a fax, and so I started to fax them out, but that became a big pain in the ass. So I said, just come and pick up your sides. So, or it was a cold read, but the main scenes were always dramatic, and I always did current TV and film type of stuff because I was a big TV watcher and I loved film. That's what I did on the weekend. So I was able to, through my writing friends, pick up pilots and scripts that were not yet produced. So I used to bring them into class.
Wow.
I remember American Beauty, American Pie, Sex in the City. These weren't even out yet. I would bring them into class. It was fun. This still stands when you come to study at the studio. You do a main scene, and then you do what I call a quick bit. That's the last thing you do at the end. It's like a dessert, and it's like a one-page scene. You might get a partner, and you go out, and you have 7 minutes to put it all together. And so what I used to do is I used to do comedy, and I realized by doing comedy that a lot of the students didn't really get a chance to do much comedy because nobody was teaching text comedy, not improvisational comedy or sketch comedy, but text comedy. Yeah. So I gave them scenes from pilots, sometimes from friends, but mostly from pilots so they didn't know because I didn't want them to have some preconceived idea. And that is where my whole comedy side has come out in the studio. And that's where the 8 characters of comedy started, was because it was actors who actually helped me because I saw the things that they were doing when they would do a scene, and it was a comedy scene, and they paraphrased, the rhythm was off, and it didn't work, and everybody looked around and go, why wasn't that funny? When they changed words or dropped words, they'd say, yeah, it's not working. It's because comedy had rhythm, and I knew that from my writing comedy days, and I knew that they had to, there was a certain technique to do it, so I started to form a comedic technique back 22 years ago in my class. And as that progressed, I started making comedy the main scenes as well as drama, and I that's where the 8 characters of comedy started to bloom there, because I saw different actors perform in different characters.
Well, let's jump to that. So that's the title of one of your books, and I found that really intriguing. Can you talk a little more about The Eight Characters of Comedy slash and your book?
The Eight Characters of Comedy, as I said, began 22 years ago as actors helped me, kind of write it in this sense, because I could see what they were doing right and what they were doing was wrong. Right. And their mistakes was really is what helps actors figure out what works and what doesn't work. Yeah. And it began back then, but it was The Eight Characters of Comedy that I started to see. If you put a particular actor who had an essence, let's say that was a little more sarcastic and cynical, had a harder time comedically taking on a character that was hopeful and optimistic and perhaps naive. But if you gave that same cynical, sarcastic actor a role that had that essence in it, they were able to fit it like a glove and the humor would come alive.
Right, right.
And that's when I started to discover. So I started to write The Eight Characters of Comedy, and that came out in 2004. It came out when there was no comedy on the air, so that's really an odd thing to happen. But it was the writers who really picked up the book first, and they were writing their spec scripts for comedies that weren't on the air. And it was interesting because during that process, as the years went on, 2004, 2005, 2006, 7, 8, those writers who would write me would say, I'm writing my first spec script, I'm using your book, thanks. Or now I'm a story editor, or I got a job as a writer and I'm a story editor now. And all of a sudden, 3 or 4 years later, they were co-executive producers and the start of comedy was coming back. Not that my book had anything to do with it, but I feel like it obviously aided some of those people and kind of helped them. And I think it's the eight specific characters of comedy that writers use and work with, but the book has been out since 2004. It's sold over 250,000 copies.
Wow!
It's translated into Russian. It's going to be into Mandarin and Portuguese. It's helped me travel the world, though I'm not a great traveler. I've gone to Australia, Sweden. I've gone all over Canada. I went to Norway.
Wow.
I always go to Canada now. That's a fun. And I've been all over the United States, really mostly doing The Eight Characters of Comedy.
Hi. With the entertainment industry changing every day, I'm continuing to work to be a source of inspiration and information in your life. As it's been for 5 seasons and over 120 episodes, the Hometown to Hollywood podcast will be there for you. Now, I'm asking you to be there for us. The podcast has been a labor of love for years, and now I'm asking if Hometown to Hollywood's been a friend to you, if it's helped, educated, and inspired you, please become a supporter of the podcast. For only $5 a month, the price of a latte, you can become a friend of the podcast and help me afford to continue to do the work that you've come to depend on for honest, insightful interviews that shed light on how to succeed in the entertainment industry. If you can afford it, pitch in $10 a month and become a good friend of the podcast. Your support helps supplement the people who can only give $5 a month. Join now. Just go to hometowntohollywood.supportingcast.fm. That's hometowntohollywood.supportingcast.fm. And in just 2 clicks, you can have access to the complete version of this incredibly informative conversation, as well as each upcoming episode and the entire collection of over 120 past episodes. If you can't afford $5 a month to subscribe, the first 10 minutes of every episode will still be available for free. Subscribers get the full episodes delivered right to their inbox. Thank you. I appreciate your support, and I can't wait to share the exciting upcoming conversations with you. Meanwhile, if you could use some one-on-one coaching, invest in a video consultation session with me. Just go to hometowntohollywood.com and click on the consultation page. In 60 or 90 minutes, you can get peace of mind and a detailed action plan. Remember, the future belongs to those who believe in their dreams.